folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hi, Petra. I have been really pushing on AI as a strategic thought partner, and I have a feeling you are too. And so I want to just start there. What are you doing? Tell me where you are in the state of Petra plus AI.
Oh, I'm talking a lot to multiple tools, ChatGPT a lot, frankly speaking, lately. Even as a non-native speaker, I really love how good the transcription functionality recently is. So I really can, like with this, as you were saying, like strategic thinking partner, right? So I have my own projects. They're all trained on my writing and on all my material and all these kind of things. And, you know, both of us have plenty of material we can put into these tools. So that really helps. And then I can just like brainstorm the hell out of it with AI, giving it different roles and asking it to have different specialized background knowledge and all these. So priming it a bit. But all of that does work. We are talking to it lately, and this is what I'm doing all day long. I'm barely touching my mouse anymore. Sometimes it's a copy and paste between ChatGPT and Claude and back and forth, but that's basically what I do. So yeah, it really changes how I interact with it.
Yeah, I've actually been hearing from more and more people that they are actually talking to AI more than typing to AI. I just downloaded Whisper Flow, but I haven't started using it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited to move into the talking to AI camp. By the time this airs, I'll probably be a couple months into talking to AI camp, and we'll have to do an update
yeah, as
on
always,
whether my
with
husband
all recordings.
Has left me or not. Do you have an example? Like, do you have something you've worked on recently where you used one of these projects? Or I think I would love to just learn a little bit. I can share too, like, this stuff has like permeated everything that I do. And so I'm just really curious, like what other people are doing. And like, if you have something you did recently where you were like working out of a project or you got help from AI.
Yeah. So it's a lot of information retrieval. That's usually the first step. So I write so much that I oftentimes forget that I already wrote about a certain topic. So whenever I start to work on a content piece, no matter if it's for my email course or blog post or something like that, I'm always like, hey, ChatGPT, can you dig out all the resources that I already have on a certain topic, prioritization, directional clarity, whatever. And then that is already helpful, first of all, because I see how many data points over time I have for certain things. And then sometimes it reminds me of really clever thoughts that I had in the past. So dig out quotes from the blog post that I wrote, all these kind of things. It's often, that's my starting point. So doing research within my own knowledge database to some extent. And then I sometimes ask it to dig out more resources, and I'm reading other people's work and yada, yada, yada. But it's usually because I usually have a current take on things from my coaching practice, right? So if I need to talk about prioritization now, I have a take. So that's not the problem to write something on prioritization. But the question is, what was my take 2 years ago? Or what was my take 8 years ago? Because things are changing. And to me, it is important to be consistent in my messaging wherever possible. And if there are nuances, or if I learn something new, or if I start to not liking a concept that I promoted years ago, I actually want to be vocal about it. And that's what I do a lot with talking to AI back and forth, is kind of exploring my own knowledge tree and see what I've done in the past and see where things need an update and stuff like that. And then it's the thought partnership is a lot in, okay, and if this is what I want to write about, what would be good subheadlines that make it easier for people to digest or something like that? And now let's play with roles. And we already talked about that in a different episode, right? I can give ChatGPT or Claude roles and say, like, now if you're reading it as a junior product person, what would be your questions? If you're now a senior product person, what would be your questions now? And do all the subheadlines still make sense? So I can do I know this is not a good substitute for any user interview still, but it gives me an idea of, hey, am I writing for the right audience? Would they still get, I'm always writing for my leadership audience. I'm a rather senior audience, but would a junior PM still find some nuggets or something like that? So that's all conversational. That's not, I'm not prompting anymore in using my keyboard. I always just hit this record button. And yeah, maybe I need to at some point have these quick buttons and just like say record, record, record. And it works pretty well on my mobile phone as well, right? So it works basically everywhere and I can just talk to it. And it was not that good a few months ago, but now it's amazing. Now it just really works like whatever I say, even and even being bilingual. So even in German and in English, it works. I can switch languages while I work with it. So this is awesome. Sometimes when I'm like, oh, how do I really put this precisely in English? Then I just won't bother anymore. And I brief it in German and it still works really well. So impressively well. Yeah. And what are you currently playing with a lot? What's your main use case?
Oh my gosh. I have dove deep.
Main use case.
Yeah. Claude Code. So let's talk let's talk about what Claude Code is. And then I don't think it's about the code part. I'm going to explain the code part a little bit, but I took a step into like regular work, not just coding work with Claude Code. And it was mind blowing. Okay. So what is Claude Code? It lives in the terminal. Are you on a Mac or a Windows machine?
Windows machine.
Windows machine. Okay, I don't really know anything about terminal and Windows, but I know you have one.
Yeah, I have one.
So it's a command line interface, kind of like DOS of the old school days. You have access to your whole file system, and you install Claude right there on your machine. So it's a little bit like Claude Desktop, but it's
on-premise.
But it's living on-premise in your terminal. It's not really on-premise, but it is in your terminal. Yeah. And here's what this unlocks. Like now Claude has context. Everything that you launch Claude like in a folder and then it has the context of what's in that folder. And this sounds so trivial, but let me tell you how coders use it. So like when I'm coding, I use VS Code. That's just the application, my IDE that I'm writing my code in. And there's a terminal built right into VS Code. So I have Claude like on the bottom of my screen and then I have the file that I'm working in above it. And Claude knows that I'm working in that file and it can make changes and I can see the changes that Claude makes. But here's the deal. Like if you've ever vibe coded, which I know you have,
yes.
AI kind of goes off the rails, right? Like it does too much. It writes really verbose code. And so one thing I learned when coding with Claude Code, I don't let it just go off and write code. What I use it as is like a strategy partner. So I'll be like, I'll launch Claude in the project folder for the project I'm working on. And I'll be like, hey, I'm working on my interview coach. I need to add this new feature. Here's what I want it to do. Help me just come up with a project plan. And I actually do this. Claude Code has modes. So I'm doing this in planning mode, which means it's not allowed to write only any code. It just has to plan. And so it'll like read all my files. I'll point it to the right context, or it'll just go explore my file system and read all the right files and be like, oh, I see that you did other things this way. So we should do this. And then it will start to come up with a list. And then I'll iterate on the list. I'll tell it what I like and what I don't like. Right now I'm typing, but I literally am about to switch to Whisper Flow because I do this all day long. Like I am in Claude Code all day long being like, I need to do this project. Help me generate a to-do list. What's the right way to do it? And we have conversations about like architecture design and the right tools to use and the right like Python packages or the right Node.js packages and the right way to deploy it. Like we talk about all of that. And then it goes in the project plan. And then I say, okay, Claude, go ahead and implement the plan. And then because the plan is really detailed and focused, Claude does the right thing. Okay, so that's really magical with coding. Like I write way more code than I ever have. And I have a much better understanding of like what's possible and how to do things because of this like back and forth with Claude before we write any code. So a couple weeks ago, I had this insight, like what if I wrote a blog post this way? So I actually sat down.
Not even code till you used Claude code to write content. I love it.
I basically was like, okay, Claude, I have this idea for a blog post. This episode's going to come out after that blog post is live. So I did this for our August 20th blog post. I think the title is something like building my first AI product. And so what I did was I sat down with Claude Code in my terminal. So just chatting. And I go, hey, I want to write a blog post. Here is my idea. Like, I've been building this interview coach for a few months now. I'm starting to notice like some big buckets of like new skills that I had to learn. Like, I had to learn about context engineering and like orchestrating LLM calls. And like, I just like gave it my outline of what I thought I should write in the blog post. And I was like, what do you think? And actually, that's not even where I started. Let me back up. Where I started was, hey, Claude, are you familiar with Teresa Torres's Product Talk blog? And it like immediately went to the web. And I was like, stop going to the web. Tell me what you know from your training about Teresa Torres's Product Talk blog. And it gave me this like really amazing summary of how I write. Ooh. And what I like to include, like really pragmatic and actionable and like very coaching like and not and very accessible. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I feel really complimented. How about, can you summarize all that and put it in a writing style guide? So we started with a writing style guide. Like, here's how Teresa Torres writes. And by the way, I didn't tell it I was Teresa Torres at this point. So like, it wasn't just saying these nice things because it
I
knew
do
it was
these
me.
Things as well.
And so we iterated on our writing style guide. And it included anything and everything from like tone to how I like to write headlines to like how I structure things. And then I said, okay, I want to write this blog post about building my first AI product. Here's my outline. What do you think? Like, what do you think about this? And Claude was like, this seems very technical for an audience of product managers and designers. And I was like, ooh, that's because I've been an engineer for the last few months. Interesting. And I'm like, okay, well, how would you fix it? And it generated a new outline for me using my outline, but it just reframed everything to be about like more the problems that a product manager would think through and not what the engineer would think through. And I was like, oh, I like this already. So we iterated probably for an hour just on the outline. Like, hey, this doesn't feel quite right. What if we changed this? What if we did that? And we're doing this all in the context, like in an app where like my document is changing in front of my eyes. I'm making some changes. Claude is making some changes. Yeah. And like, it's a little bit like when you're in the Claude web interface and you have like the canvas up and you're going back and forth on the canvas. The difference is this is like locally on my machine.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Claude, of course, wanted to write the blog post for me. And so I was like, we had like had a full outline and I'm like, okay, let's start on the introduction. And I go, when I open my blog post, I try to start with like a short sentence that like hooks the reader. Can you help me generate some of those for this? And it generated a whole bunch that were terrible. And I was like, okay, you're not good at this. How about I come up with the first sentence? And so I came up with the first sentence, which of course, as you know, as a writer, like got me writing. And so I just wrote the intro. And then I'm doing this in the same document that Claude can see. So I go, hey, Claude, I just wrote the intro. What do you think? And it was like, oh, I really like your opening hook. It was all super nice. And then I'm like, okay, now tell me how I could make it better.
This changes your brain, Teresa. If AI is always nice to you, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
So then I'm like, okay, well, tell me how I can make it better. Right?
Yeah.
And so then we started critiquing it and iterating on it. And it was like, I love that you're using this personal story, but you need to connect it here. Or like, this phrase is vague. Let's improve that. And so I basically used Claude as like a pair writer. And what's funny, I ended up writing a 6,000 word blog post. I wrote it in about 4 hours, which usually I spend about 8 hours on a 2,000 word blog post.
Yeah.
I wrote it in about 4 hours. I wrote every single word of it. Claude did not write a word of it. But it's way better than if I had just written it myself, because I like wrote a section and was like, hey, Claude, what do you think about this section? How can I make it better? It does have a lot of technical bits. Remember, Claude's first feedback was like, it sounds like this is for engineers. And so I did these like pullout sections. Like, I talk about RAG and I talk about MCP and I talk about agents and workflows. And so what I did to like help the non-technical reader, I did these little pullouts that's like, what is RAG? And then I described it. And then I used an example. And I used Claude heavily on like, am I explaining this clearly? Am I explaining it accurately? Is the example clear? And I went back and forth because I really wanted those to be accurate. And so Claude really helped me frame those.
Yeah, I do similar things with my emails because, for example, what I figured is ChatGPT is better with structure and Claude is better with the actual writing and meeting my tone. So, for example, I did the style guide. So I asked ChatGPT to write the style guide and I asked Claude to follow it, basically. Because Claude, the style guide that Claude created was not as precise and as helpful as the one that ChatGPT created. And a similar thing is what I do with my emails, because I'm currently writing 52 really substantial and long emails for my email course for product leaders, right? And I want them all have a certain structure, easier for ChatGPT to follow than for Claude. And so ChatGPT does the quality assurance. Once I wrote the email, I give it to ChatGPT and say, like, hey, is the structure like with all my other emails? What am I missing here? Any suggestions on restructuring it? So that's better ChatGPT a task. And ChatGPT is really good in suggesting things like, Petra, I think that's too long for one email. Maybe this should become a PDF and bonus material or stuff like that. This is another thing that ChatGPT really does well. And Claude oftentimes is better in reminding me of things that I already said or I already wrote or that I should reconsider what I'm saying here because it is contradictory to what I said in three emails ahead or something like that. So, but for me, it's again, I think while I'm writing, the second best thing is I think while I'm speaking to ChatGPT and Claude and stuff like that. But I still love to write. I need to write these sentences myself, as you were saying, like they're not writing the thing. I write the thing, but I really like, and I especially struggle with really structure like subheadlines, or sometimes I forget to do bullet point lists and just like write text blocks after text blocks. And then ChatGPT says like, Petra, but for the sake of the readability of this post, maybe make this a bullet point list. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I can make this a bullet point list. So all of that is really helpful.
Okay. So there's one more step I want to talk about. So I went back and forth and wrote this really long blog post. And then I got to the end and like, right as I finished writing the blog post, Anthropic announced sub-agents inside Cloud Code. And sub-agents are like, they're kind of like stored prompts. You like, it's a little bit like having what we do with folders where like you define a role and you give it a prompt. But what you do is you tell Claude when to use it. So I started creating these like post blog writing reviewers. So I created a copy editor and I'm like, you should use this when I'm done writing a blog post and you should review the blog with a fine tooth comb, looking for any grammatical mistakes, looking for any anything that like a copy editor would catch and want to correct. And then I created a senior engineer skeptic. So I was like, your job is to read this blog post and find anything that's technically inaccurate. And then I created like a devil's advocate, like argued the point of like, tell me where I'm wrong in this blog post. Right. And so I think I have like 8 or 9 of these reviewers. One of them is your editor for a print publication with exacting standards. Tell me what's wrong with this blog post. And then what I can do in Claude Code, I don't have to say, I can just say, hey, run all the sub agents that end with reviewer. Yeah. And it will run all of them. And then it will give me a report back and be like, here's all the ways you can make your blog post better.
And then you can still decide which ones to address because I ignore a lot of it. Content. Yeah. Okay. Because that's again, coming back to our curation topic, right? We don't want to follow all this advice.
My takeaway was like, I don't ever want to write for a print publication if that's the type of feedback I'm going to get. I'm like, no, this is a blog. I'm okay with it being personal. Like I told my blog post is this like really personal story of writing my first AI product. And it's like, I'm trying to change my writing to be more personal because I feel like in the age of AI, anybody can now produce how-to content. And so I'm trying to like make my writing more personal, but still show how to do things. And the public print publication editor was like, this is like a personal blog. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Sorry to break it to you, but yes.
So there's this idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, do you think, because I see so many people falling in love with talking to their computer more on all sorts of levels for all sorts of use cases. Do you think that will change the way how everybody down the line will interact with
software. I want to touch on this, but there's like one more piece I want to hammer on, which is about this like strategic thought partner piece. Like there's this concept in coding where you pair program with another person. So two people are sitting at the same computer. They're literally talking through, how are we going to do this? And like a lot of the value of pair programming is this like strategic back and forth about what's the best way to do this.
And we're getting sometimes just thinking out loud, right? Which is called rubber ducking.
Exactly. So. And just getting multiple perspectives on this. Okay. Yeah. I think Claude Code in the context of coding taught me how to do this really well. And now I'm stepping into, how do I use this same pattern in all of my work? Like literally every single thing that I do. And I feel like I was doing that a little bit like in ChatGPT and Claude, like I was already a heavy user, but there's something about it being on my local device. Like it's now, Claude Code is now my entry into everything. Like I start all of my work there. And I'm at the time of this recording, I'm 2 weeks into using Claude Code. I don't think any other product.
And already has, addicted.
I don't think any other product has changed my work so workflow so quickly and so dramatically. Which I think gets to your question of like, okay, these tools are getting good enough that they're now changing the way that we work. Especially for those of us that like are fully embracing them, like they're changing
and want to work and accept to work,
expect to work. Yes,
it might be unacceptable in a year from now to bother people with typing stuff into a machine.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this typing versus talking. I think there's a couple pieces to this. I have not moved to talking. I'm still typing, so I don't have a lot of thoughts on that yet. But I think where there's a lot of similarities, whether you're typing or talking, I type really fast. So I know I talk faster, but I think what we're uncovering here is people now have this expectation that I can blab at you and you should figure out what I want.
Yeah.
Right?
So English is becoming the programming language, Teresa. That's the thing.
And maybe the interface as well. Right? Yeah. So like, I know when we were talking about this earlier, you brought up like, if I'm shopping for a new pair of shoes, is my expectation that I'm going to click around on menus and click through links and type things in search? Or am I just going to say, I'm looking for a pair of tennis shoes to replace my blue On Clouds that are terrible because they fall apart too quickly?
Get me the cheapest option.
Yeah. Right. Like when you brought this topic up originally, I was a little reluctant to discuss it because I don't want everything to be a chatbot. Like, I don't know that that's the right
interface. No, me neither. Me neither.
But I can now fully envision the world where, like, we have a personal agent that is our interface to everything else that we engage with. So, like, yeah. I talk to my personal agent, and my agent tells me what
translates
the e-commerce
it
site
to
has,
machine.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think this raises really big questions about how we do product design.
Yeah, that will have a tremendous effect on all the things that we do. And you see, like 2 weeks in for you, I'm kind of maybe 4 weeks in with only talking to my computer anymore. And I'm already addicted to some extent. I don't want to go back. My mouse is basically unemployed these days. Yeah, I really wonder how this will change all the products that we're using like forever, because it would be so amazing just to say like, hey, I want to have my new working room decorated as a jungle office. Suggest furniture.
Yeah. You know what I did
recently? Not so hard.
So my webcam that I'm using right now is terrible. It's like something happened. It's just the autofocus is constantly breaking, and I turned off autofocus and it still like constantly loses focus. So I needed a new webcam, and the last thing I want to do is research webcams. And I just went to ChatGPT and I was like, look, I need a webcam. I care about picture quality. I want it to focus really well. I don't need any bells and whistles. I just want it to look picture perfect. And it gave me 3 recommendations with links to reviews. I spent like 2 minutes reading the reviews, browsing the reviews, and I bought the first one, and it comes tomorrow. So sadly, I'm not using it for these yet. Like that was amazing because it's not a purchase I care about. I just need it to be good enough. Right?
Yeah. And especially if there is brainstorming involved, like for interior design or stuff like that. And again, we would need a project plan, and then we would need to, some tapestry suggested or, And that's things that it all can do with the right interface.
I can very quickly imagine me just telling my personal agent, you know me, you know my needs, go find me a webcam and order it. And this
Yep.
is like, I know people have talked about 2025 as the year of agents, and like MCP came out at the beginning of the year, the end of last year, and people started talking about like we're going to interface through agents and nobody's going to browse the web anymore. I think I was very skeptical and now I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And especially on the product side, I think that will be such a massive shift.
Yeah.
On the shopping side is in particular.
Back in
Nobody will
April,
go Google stuff.
we did a deep dive on product talk about APIs. And the reason why we wrote that is because when I read about MCP, I was like, wow, this might be the future. Like, we might all have to have APIs on our products so that
Yes.
MCP has something to interact with and agents know how to use our products because maybe humans aren't going to use our products directly. And I'm skeptical. Like, there's still things that like I want to type. I don't want to talk. Like, I type fast on my phone, I type fast on my computer, and there's times where like I like the privacy of typing, right? I don't want to say something out loud.
And we're still checking stuff on Google every once in a while because are the two cameras really the best cameras that one could get for the purchases that are
I
critical?
never used Google for that because I don't care about the best camera. I care about is it good enough. So I
Yeah,
literally
but
clicked.
that's one use case, but there are other use cases where you might still want to use Google or another research tool platform to figure out if what ChatGPT said is a good idea.
Yeah, you know what? I can't remember the last time I used Google.
Interesting.
I do use Google for local search. Like yesterday I had to look at what like whether a restaurant we wanted to go to was open on a Monday, and I used Google
Okay.
for that. Right?
Yeah.
But like product search, any research, I use ChatGPT. I have it on my phone, right on my home
Yeah, but I
screen.
always fact check. Yeah, but I always fact check and go f try find it on Google as well. If I, for example, put it in a blog post or something like that.
Yeah, so what I
Because then I'm
did,
always like, yeah, ChatGPT, not fully trusting you.
yeah, so like with this camera example, it gave me links to reviews. So I clicked through and I was like,
Yeah,
this
and
is a
then you could
reputable
double check
site.
it yourself. Yeah, I
Yeah.
see how this is working. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we need to wrap this one, Teresa. Otherwise, we are going too long and people cannot finish this episode on their commute.
I know, we could talk all day about this stuff.
Indeed.
All right,
Thank
well,
you,
Petra, thank
Teresa.
you.
Ha ha ha.